Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. In this world, Jesus said, you have tribulation. In this life, you don't know what sorrow is awaiting around the corner. A layoff, a biopsy, a drunk driver, some totally unexpected tragic event. All of these things could happen, and in a moment, your life is turned upside down. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. You do not know what trials and temptations the Lord will allow Satan to afflict you with. You don't know what God will permit to befall you. But even as we all must acknowledge that God will allow sorrow to enter our lives, we must also confess how much sorrow God has spared us to this point. Some of the occasions of God's rescue come quickly to mind, even now. The test that caught the illness in time. The brakes that worked when you slammed on them. The flight that you decided not to take at the last moment. But many of God's rescues are unknown to you. And this may be for your good. For I think that if the Lord for an instant opened our eyes to see that tightrope that we all walk each and every day and just how many terrible disasters are narrowly avoided thanks to the protection of his holy angels who watch over us, whom he commands concerning us, I don't think we'd ever want to get out of bed again. As the great hymn puts it, we truly walk in danger all the way. And we do not know what troubles lie ahead of us. This should move us to pray without ceasing. The words of Jesus just prior to our gospel lesson this morning are the words we heard a couple of weeks ago in the Easter season. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I tell you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. The reality of weeping and lamentation, the reality of sorrow now in this life, should move us to pray. For Jesus promises joy from sorrow, and he tells us how our joy might become full. He says, "Ask, and you will receive." I think it's remarkable how brief Jesus is in this passage. One very simple command, ask. And one very simple promise, you will receive. But what a blessed, emphatic promise it is, as wide and unreserved as it can possibly be. You will receive, with no qualifications attached. With such a simple command and such a blessed divine promise, who wouldn't follow our Lord's direction here? Yet how often we fail to do so. How many of you struggle to pray at all, let alone without ceasing? How many of you are reluctant to call upon God in every need? How many of you see prayer as, at best, secondary to taking reasonable action when times of sorrow come? How many of you view prayer, whether consciously or subconsciously, as little more than a last resort when all else fails? In the Large Catechism, Martin Luther defined a God as that in which we are to take refuge in all distress. Where do you take refuge when you face times of distress? When you neglect prayer, you place your fear, love, and trust in some other God rather than the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are two main reasons why we are slow to pray, despite our Lord's blessed command and promise here, ask and you will receive. The first reason is pride. Prayer is an act of humility. When you pray, you acknowledge your own inability to care for yourself. When you pray, you admit to God that everything you have and need comes from Him, and therefore you must seek all things, including your deliverance, from His hand. And this strikes at the very heart of human pride. The flesh thinks that it can take care of itself, that if God is part of the equation at all, then maybe it's because He owes us something because of our piety, our strength, our standing, our heritage, or something else within us. Prayer teaches us the opposite, however. Prayer teaches us, like Martin Luther said on his deathbed, that we are all beggars. Prayer teaches us that we cannot rely on ourselves or our abilities, but must submit to God and His will. Prayer teaches us that we must thankfully receive everything we have and are from God as free gifts and look to Him and to Him alone for rescue and deliverance in times of danger and need. And in all things, we must trust in His grace alone. The second reason we are slow to pray is doubt. Again, Jesus said, with great simplicity, "Ask and you will receive." But how often have we asked? And yet how often it seems like we haven't received? How often have we prayed? And how often it seems that our joy is not full? We pray, and yet still loved ones get sick and die. We pray, and yet bodies still weaken and fail. We pray, and yet families still suffer strife and contention. We pray, and yet our own livelihoods are threatened. When this happens, the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature tempt us to grow weary of waiting on the Lord. They tempt us to grow tired of the patient endurance that trials and tribulations call for. They tempt us to grow slower to pray the next time we are in need. They tempt us to doubt that prayer actually does anything. Whatever has hindered your prayers, whether it be pride or doubt, the proper Christian response is to repent. Repent of your slowness to pray. If it is pride, repent and remember that you are but a beggar before God, and therefore kneel before God as a beggar. Set aside all your good works, all your efforts, human achievements, comparisons to your neighbors, and whatever else it might be, and repent. Yes, confess that you are nothing but a beggar before God, and recall that it is to beggars that Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you." And if it is doubt that hinders your prayer, repent. And remember what Christ our dear Lord prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before His arrest. The very same petition that He commands you to pray in the Lord's Prayer. "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." If Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who could have appealed for legions of angels to come and rescue Him, instead was willing to set aside His own will to obey the Father's will, to suffer what the Father willed for Him to suffer, that is death on the cross, how much more so should you, a mere creature, be willing to submit your thoughts and desires, what you consider to be a proper answer to prayer, to what the perfect will of God, the Almighty Creator, is for you? Yes, repent of your doubt and trust that God, who is all-knowing, knows best as to when and how He should answer your prayers, whether that be sending you relief or, yes, burden. For God never commands anything without a good purpose, and that most certainly include prayer. But that command to pray comes with His blessed promise to answer. Now it is true that in prayer we run up against the hidden will of God like nowhere else. That is, what God's will is for you and for your life that He hasn't yet revealed in Holy Scripture. What anxieties await us tomorrow? What will the test results be? Will I get the job after all? Will my loved one recover? What sorrows await around the corner? What if this happens? Why did that happen? No one knows the answer to those questions with certainty except God. And again, this is hidden from us. But just because much of God's will is hidden does not mean that all of God's will is unknown. God has revealed much to you. Much of His will is made known in the Bible, in His Word. And indeed, there in the Holy Scriptures, God has made known to you the most important parts of His will. For there in the Bible you find all that you need to know to be saved and to have eternal life. There God has truly revealed His will to you, namely that He desires you and all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There you find God's will, that He sent His only begotten Son to be born of human flesh and blood to be your brother, and yet perfect without sin. There you find God's will, that the Son of God, Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, should sacrifice Himself on the cross for you, paying the price of your sins with His holy, precious blood. There in the Bible, you learn God's will, that He loves you, and that for Jesus' sake you should be declared righteous, that His mercy endures forever. There God's will is made known, that you should be forgiven of your sins, declared to be saints, children of God, heirs of the kingdom of heaven, baptized, absolved, fed with Jesus' very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, life, and salvation. In the Holy Scriptures, God has made known His will to you as to what will come in the future, that He will bring you safely to your heavenly home out of this valley of sorrow, that He will wipe every tear away from your eyes, that your sorrows will come to an end eternally. And then finally, at the last, He will raise you in perfected bodies and souls to live in His glorious presence forevermore. This is God's good and gracious will for you, that your hearts shall rejoice on that day, and that no one shall take your joy from you. And in the Scriptures, God has also revealed this aspect of His will to you, that you should ask for all things in Jesus' name. Because the atoning death of Jesus on the cross has made peace with the Father, because He has exalted you to the place of honor of being children of God, you refer to Jesus and His work, you appeal to His redemption, and therefore you have assurance that your prayers are heard by your heavenly Father. Jesus says to the disciples, "Up till now you did not ask anything in My name." Before Jesus' work of salvation was completed, they didn't. But through the cross, the way to the Father's heart has been opened. And therefore, in Jesus' name, we Christians ask, knowing that we will receive. For in the end, the power of prayer depends upon the name of Jesus, that is, upon faith in Jesus as our Savior and the Savior of all mankind, through whom alone we have free and full access to God the Father. And so, because God Himself has revealed to us that it is His will that we should ask for all things in Jesus' name, because He has revealed to us, according to His will, that we are cleansed from our sins and reborn as His children through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are bold and confident to ask Him as our dear Father. He calls on us to pray for those things that He has revealed to us without uncertainty in His Word. He calls on us to pray for forgiveness, life, and salvation, to pray for grace, mercy, and peace, to pray for love, joy, and the Holy Spirit. For such things, God calls us to pray, and therefore for such things we pray without reservation. For God has vowed, and He will not change His mind. He has said in His Word that He will certainly give us such things through the very means of grace that He has instituted, the Word and the sacraments. but as children of God, possessing the name of Jesus in prayer, we are also bold and confident to pray for those things which remain hidden, yet always in faith that God's will be done. Again, we are burdened by so many tribulations in this world that we must be moved to pray. And so we do, for big things, for an end to war and conflict between nations, for an end to hunger and poverty, for cures for cancer and other terrible diseases, and so forth. We pray for all of these big things, and we are confident that God will grant these things in heaven, yes, but also trusting that perhaps Jesus may grant it now, just as he did with the feeding of the 5,000 and the healing of the man with leprosy during his ministry. We pray for those big things. And we pray for all those little things that trouble us in our day-to-day life, that we not be late to work, that our children have a good day at school, that we get some relief from our achy knees. Because we are children of God. And this is what children do at their dear Father's tender invitation. They approach him with all boldness and confidence to ask for all things, great and small, trusting that their Father hears them and will give them what he knows to be best because he loves them, even if it is far better than what the children thought to be best. Take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. He gave himself as a ransom for all on the cross. This he did to fulfill his Father's will, which has been made known to us in the Scriptures. And therefore, even as we face so many unknowns and uncertainties in this daily life, we focus not on what sorrows tomorrow might bring, but on what God has certainly done now, what he has revealed with certainty, what he has promised, who he is. And that is, his mercy endures forever. Christ is risen indeed. He came from the Father into the world, and now he has left the world and gone to the Father. He ever serves as our one mediator before God. Therefore, at his clear revelation, at his unchanging word, we pray in Jesus' name to the Father, confident that as he has promised, we will receive and our joy shall be full. In this world you have tribulation, yes. The threat of sorrow always looms around the corner. The answers to the questions, what if and why, escape us. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? We don't. God has not revealed such things to us. But take heart, this he has revealed to you. Jesus has overcome the world. He died for you. He has risen indeed. He is preparing a place for you that where he is, you may be also. He loves you to the end. You know these things. For all these things God has revealed to you with certainty in his word. And therefore, trusting his unfailing word, commend yourselves into his almighty hand and trust that God will indeed work all things for your good and finally bring you to your heavenly home, where there is no sorrow, no tribulation, no anxiety ever again. Until then, Jesus invites you, he calls on you, he commands you to pray, today and every day, with this divine blessed promise. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.